Hello and welcome to the Equine Physio and Rehabilitation Podcast. My name is Dr. Gillian Tabor and I specialise in the treatment and rehabilitation of horses. In this podcast, I wanted to expand on a social media post that I put out a week or so ago. So if you don't follow me, please find me on Facebook and Instagram at Dr. Gillian Tabor Physio, where I put out a sort of regular amount of posts that cover sort of things to do with rehab and training. But this post was about having two reps in reserve, and I wanted to have the opportunity to discuss this in more detail because I think it's actually a very important point to consider when we are either rehabbing or we're training to sort of progress performance in our horses. We all know that if you want to get better at something, you have to practice it. And to gain adaptations in the musculoskeletal system, you actually just have to push yourself a little bit during that practice. So we need to edge out of our comfort zone to stimulate changes in both muscle so that it develops and gets stronger, and also, say, in bone to develop bone density and therefore the strength of the bone. Now, the difficulty is how do we know when we are gently edging into that zone versus going completely past that threshold and into perhaps a overloaded area that might create damage? So you might have muscle strain, or in worst case, you might have stress fractures in bones because they're overloaded before they can tolerate it, which, you know, we often see in young thoroughbreds in racing. So yeah, that sort of threshold is a bit of a grey area, and unless you're really experienced and you know your individual horse well, it's really quite difficult to tell, because sometimes they don't give you the signs of whether they're being, you know, overloaded or pushed too hard. This can be really common if you've got a horse that is quite adrenalized and, you know, quite close to their sort of emotional threshold, or maybe a little bit stressed. That situation in them, their nervous system arousal, means that you can overwork them before they sort of tell you signs of it. Or, you know, maybe you've got a horse that's working with another horse, you're going out cantering perhaps, and the sort of natural instincts of the horse is to keep up with the other horse, and then, you know, you find that actually your horse is working way, way harder than the horse in front that was already fit, and it wasn't actually working near to maximum capacity at all. On the other end of the scale, it could be that you've got your horse coming out of box rest after an injury or surgery, and you're really concerned about the rehab and the amount of work that you're putting through them because you don't want to risk re-injuring or aggravating something that's been a problem beforehand. So this sort of grey area of loading them enough but not too much is really sort of like the Goldilocks principle, and it's hard for anybody to work it out. So when we look at human training, when we think about muscle adaptation so that we get hypertrophy, or what's called muscle growth, we used to believe that you had to work your muscle to fatigue. And fatigue is a horrible place to be in. Well, some people like it when they go to the gym and train. I'm not particularly a fan of it. I don't like the fact that I can't carry on training or lifting a weight anymore, or, you know, doing one more squat. I've got to the limit of it. It's quite uncomfortable. And, you know, ethically, how do we know whether it's right to push our horses to that point because of the discomfort that might be associated with it? Oh, I'm not sure. It's much easier to get to that point with high loads. So, you know, if I load up a barbell or I put loads of weight on the machine I'm using, I won't be able to do many repetitions at all before I get to that point of fatigue. If I use a lower weight and I can do more reps, so more repetitions of it, then it might be that I can get to fatigue, but it's going to take me longer to do that, which means that then I'm going to have more sort of cycles of loading that potentially, you know, could cause injury if we're trying to be protective against injury, which I hope we actually are. So in horses, we have to think about, well, if we need to get close to fatigue to stimulate that muscle adaptation, how do we do it? One thing that has sort of come through the literature is that you don't need to go to complete failure to stimulate muscle adaptation. You also don't need to use low reps, high load. You can use low load and multiple reps to have the same effect. Now, obviously, if I am a bodybuilder or an Olympic lifter, then it's going to be slightly different. But, you know, if you're a general population, we know now that some of the absolute science that we used to believe isn't quite so true. And it's interesting to sort of read through some of this in the literature. And if anybody's interested, I can certainly point you in the direction of some really good meta-analyses that compare the amount of weight that people are lifting and the number of reps and look for outcomes. And so in human training, the views have changed a little bit on it and how you need to load muscles. So anyway, back to the horses. Getting to that point of failure is potentially risky. It's also uncomfortable. And if we get to that point in a horse and they are showing some behavioural signs, it might be that they are reluctant to go. It might be that they're slower off the aids. It might be that they are supposedly showing behaviours that are grumpy or reactive. Or on the other scale, some horses can get really jiggy and overexcited overreactive to the aids just because, well, to anthropomorphize, maybe, you know, get it over and done really, really quickly. So, you know, behavioural signs are quite common when we've got a horse close to that fatigue. So we know that that's also uncomfortable for them. Then if we now look at the human training paradigms, there's this idea called two reps in reserve. So you don't need to force yourself to the point that you can't lift the weight up anymore. What you might do is you might work close to that point and then ask yourself, or your personal trainer asked you, are you able to do any more? And if you can do two more, then you are at the right point to stop. If you can do five more or 10 more, you weren't anywhere near that point, so you weren't working yourself hard enough. However, if you've got to that point and you cannot do another lift or, you know, another push, then you have got yourself sort of over that threshold. So just thinking about this in horses, this idea of reps in reserve. So say I was thinking about doing trot to canter transitions on a 20 meter circle, and I had done my sort of idea that I wanted to do them on every quarter circle, and I wanted to do them for two circles, and then the horse was then struggling. Maybe they were disuniting, or maybe they were slow to respond to my aid. Then I would give my horse a short break. So that could be walking on a long rein, it could be taking a sort of an extended walk around the arena, or it might be that my horse needs to stand and stop at this point, but certainly changing what I was doing. And then I'd come back to the exercise, certainly within, you know, a couple of minutes, and then have asked the horse the same question. If they are able to carry on and I can do another four or five transitions, then I wasn't at that threshold where I had reached my sort of magic Goldilocks zone. If, however, the behaviours carry on and my horse is unable to do it, then I'm already at that and I know that I should stop my training for that particular exercise at that point. If my horse can carry on for just a couple, but then the behaviour comes back again, then that's the point that I would definitely stop. So it gives you an idea, you know, a sort of learning point to pick up at what point you should stop doing the exercises that you're doing with your horse. So I picked an example there of canter transitions, but it could be that it might be the wither rock exercise that I prescribe for some of my horses. And the exercise that you do, say, 15 to 20 one direction, 15 to 20 the other direction. And then you come back to the first direction to do your second set of repetitions, and the horse is having to step to the side, or maybe they're bracing against you. So although it's a relatively low load exercise and we are prescribing it at a sort of higher number of reps, we might find that they get to the point that they are on that threshold of being overloaded. So I would stop. I would perhaps, you know, you could either do another exercise or just let your horse stand and rest. And then you could pick up again and have another trial to see whether your horse is able to tolerate it or not. What we want in an optimal ideal is that they could tolerate, and the equivalent of two reps for that might be, you know, 5 to 10 rocks, but then they get to the point where they say, no thank you, I'm tired now, and that's enough that I can do with the quality that you are after. So you can see that you can apply these principles of just having a little bit left in the bank, you know, a little bit of fuel left in the tank, two reps in reserve, that dictates when you should stop. I think it's a nicer idea than working to fatigue or working to, technically it's called failure. I don't think that's something that we should be striving for with our horses. And I certainly think it is a way of managing the exercise intensity and the frequency of the exercises within a session, without actually pushing them into the point that you should see any negative behavioural signs. And I think your horse will thank you for it. The point that you get to this threshold will change depending on the conditioning of your horse. So the stronger they are, the fitter they are, the more endurance they have, then obviously that that zone is going to be further and further into your training. So that would be the point that maybe you want to increase the intensity and reduce the reps of what you're doing. But just being mindful that obviously we need to track the progress of the horse. And this is where I would argue that you should write it down. So how many times could you go to the left? How many times could you go to the right? At what point did you think that you were at this sort of optimal number of repetitions? And then what happened when you retried the exercise? So that next time when you go out there and you practice that exercise again, you can say, okay, we managed 5 trot, canter, trot transitions before my quality of movement went and before my horse showed me any behavioural signs. So let's see, for the next week, I'm just going to repeat 5, but then I'm going to step it up and I'm going to try for 6 or 7 and see what happens. So you can see how it can help with guiding your progression and preventing you from progressing too quickly, potentially, you know, causing discomfort for your horse or re-injuring or aggravating anything. So just have a think about you when your horse, rather, while you're doing your training, and just to see whether this idea of having some reps in reserve actually fits in with your method of training. And if it does, let me know. I'm always open to any kind of messages, so on social media or via my website, which is www.gillianTabor.co.uk. And I'd be really grateful if you could screenshot your podcast player whilst you're listening to this and share it on your social media and tag me in it. It just helps it get sort of recognised and noticed and therefore listened by more people. And then I can hopefully carry on sharing some of these ideas that I have about physio and rehabilitation. So thank you very much for your time listening, and I will see you all again soon.